Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to another afternoon edition of The Chaser Report. This afternoon, it's Tony Martin. Lachlan Hodson and I, Dom Knight, are going to sit down with him. For a little over half an hour, we're going to talk about his incredible podcast, Sizzletown. If you haven't heard it, it is the world's only late-night call-in podcast. And if that sounds like an absurd contradiction in terms, well, it's because it is. It's an incredibly labour-intensive, multi-track masterpiece. Tony does all of the voices. And the remarkable Matt Dower somehow pulls it all together. We'll find out how that process works and look back on some of the good and bad old days in commercial radio. That's in a moment on The Chaser Report.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Now with extra whispers.
Tony Martin, thank you for joining us.
No worries. What's happening?
Well, look, you were a previous winner of the Best Comedy at the Australian Podcasting Awards.
Yes.
We're up this year. We just want to know, can the judges be bought, I guess, is our first question.
I don't know. We never tried that. The first time we won, it was a very small-scale affair, just in like a tent in Collingwood, and everyone was incredibly drunk. I remember that. And then the next year we won, it was up in Sydney in like a proper theatre, and suddenly it was all, wasn't as much fun, I have to admit.
Oh, whoa.
So you won it on merit. That's not going to work for us, Tony.
Yeah. We need to know the insights. Who are the judges? Who are the panel?
I'm not sure if they reveal who the judges are in advance. Oh. Who are they? Are they other podcasters? Is it someone from Mamma Mia or someone like that?
Actually, the university I go to advertised for positions to be on the panel and I completely missed it. So I could have been on the inside.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. So just anyone can sign on, can they?
Quite possibly.
And what do you get? Is there sort of an exclusive winner's lounge? Do you get, you know, SNL-type special bathrobes?
Are you seriously asking, is there a prize?
Well, you get an award, and I'm looking at them now, and then what I've noticed is the 2018 one that we got for Childproof is made out of, like, glass or onyx or something very heavy. You could actually murder someone with it.
Amazing.
And then the following year's one, it still looks beautiful, but it's sort of made out of a cheaper kind of perspex.
Oh.
So I'm wondering what they're down to now.
It's like making a Logie out of pewter.
Exactly. Well, when we won our Logies, they were accepted by Mr. Copper Art, Pete Smith. And I do remember he, unlikely as it sounds, went out to a disco afterwards and I think broke them and lost them.
I remember that moment, though, as a Late Show fan watching, dude looks like a Logie. I mean, that's... You can't.
No, they were absolutely furious. I remember we got a call saying you will never be nominated for anything ever again. And then I think the frontline people actually did win the next year.
And for disrespecting the Logies, is that even possible?
Well, we didn't think we were going to win because I think we're up against Hey Hey It's Saturday and Fast Forward.
Oh.
And I always remember Hey Hey It's Saturday's clip. You know how you like choose a clip of, you know, your best bits for the Logies. Mm. Hey Hey It's Saturday couldn't find a bit, and they just showed a sped up bit of a whole lot of their show. It was like na 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 na, and there was a very confused look from the bloke who was Frank Spencer in some Mothers Do Have 'Em, who was presenting the award.
Presumably three blackface clips in the course of the.
Oh, you can get a lot more in fast motion.
What we're planning at the moment is how do we win this award? You were up for it in, was it 2019 or 2018?
We won in 2018, we won for Childproof, the one we did before, and then 2019 it was for Sizzletown.
Yeah, back-to-back different podcasts. Take that, awards.
Exactly. And then the next year, like last year rather, I think we came second. So we didn't even bother to enter this year because we saw the direction we were heading in.
Well, and presumably that's how there was a spot open for us to get nominated.
Yeah, no, thank you for not entering.
So who are your competitors this year?
So we're up against none other than Dan Illich, who is a friend of our podcast, and we're hoping to have him on in the future to actually ask if he'll just sort of relinquish it and give it to us anyway.
He's coming on later in the week. We're going to petition him to hand it over. Yeah. Two gentlemen
well,
by the name...
he was the one who beat us last year.
Oh. I know. So is there anything you want us to... Is there a revenge plot here? How can we get back at him for stealing your title?
Okay, here's what you could do. I remember the first award I ever won was at the Queensland Radio Awards in 1985.
Wow.
At the Gold Coast Jupiter's Casino. And I remember the entertainment was Wickety Whack, who I think may have actually done a blackface bit in their show. But anyway, amazing. That's irrelevant. And we were winning quite a few awards for our stupid radio ads. And the bloke who normally won them got up and claimed that all of our material was plagiarised.
Oh, even the blackface.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't doing the blackface.
Yeah, he needs to clarify that, Lockie.
And it's quite hard to do on radio.
But yeah, so I don't know. You could always just, you know, give that a crack. Just like say something outrageous about Dan, that he's stolen it all from, you know, The Onion or something.
Yeah, I'll say that he's in the pocket of Big Coal, I think, as a climate activist. That might do the job. And look, there's other people, and there are some podcasts I've got to admit I'm not actually across. There's Bodgy Creek Community Podcast, which sounds fun. The Candyman, Housewarming, and two gentlemen by the name of Hamish and Andy, who think had, you know, a chance of winning it.
Did I read, now, this might be not true, but did I read they get paid $1 million a year to do that podcast?
I don't know.
Would that be possible?
We did podcasting at SCA, the company that that publishes that, and we certainly didn't get a tiny fraction of it, but maybe they were using all the budget for Hamish and Andy. Yeah, I mean,
that's insultingly low, isn't it? How many million are we on at the moment, Don?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's probably a retainer, isn't it? So they don't go and do Drive with Nova, isn't it?
Right, because what I heard was that they got $1 million a year and they had 30 million downloads a year.
Oh.
And then a friend of mine, I won't say who, but has a podcast on SCA, and they worked out that they were getting 3 million downloads a year, but they were only getting $4,000 a year. So they went to the person in charge and said, shouldn't I be getting $100,000 a year? And they were told, nah, mate, that's not how it works.
You and I have talked before about the joy of working with large commercial radio organisations, but to get onto Sizzletown, Tony, I've done quite a lot of talk back in my time, and I got to say, whenever I listen to Sizzletown, I just have flashbacks. I got to say, you must devour that medium to get all of those, to accurately reproduce all of those weirdos and nutters who call your late night call-in podcast.
Well, I do just invent most of it, but then when I'm short of ideas, I'll tune into down in Melbourne 3AW.
Yeah.
And you almost don't have to wait more than 5 minutes to hear something. Like recently I was listening and they were doing it. It was a weekend show and the topic was, call us up with something that used to be cheaper in the old days. And that was
pick
the topic.
Anything.
Pick literally anything at all that was cheaper in the past. And someone calls in and goes, yeah, can I just say, you used to be able to get two potato cakes for 20 cents. I remember, do you remember that when you could? And then someone else was off mic correcting them and they went, oh, sorry, hang on, three potato cakes. You're just going, now you cannot write that sort of stuff.
No.
And yet you do, because for any of our listeners who haven't heard Sizzletown, it's a phenomenal, just a brilliant podcast, and it is deserving of the awards that it gets. It's very funny stuff.
Well, my favourite thing is to invent a conspiracy theory and have it catch on. So I had a character way back in 2018 claim, and I just thought of this just as I read an article about nanobots, and I went, so I had this character call in and say the government are putting nanobots in vaccines to control the population. There was recently a rally in Melbourne for that exact theory.
Wow.
And I also had that same character call in about 3 months ago and claim that Dan Andrews had been replaced by a robot. That's why we hadn't seen him for so long. There was a guy seriously floating that theory on Twitter recently. So now I'm just like more and more extreme theories and hoping they're going to catch on. I had a character call in and go, why is there only a 29th of February every 4 years? Because the government is obviously hoarding 29th of February's. They've got a stockpile of rogue Thursdays that they can deploy at any moment. We're going to wake up one morning, it's going to be a 29th of February, and we're not going to know why and what's going to happen. And like, that sounds insane, but I swear to you, there'll be a protest about that at some point.
You're the puppet master, clearly. Let's listen to a little bit of Sizzletown's 50th episode, okay, because there's a conspiracy theory moment in here where the nanobots gets referenced back. Let's have a listen.
Yes.
Another caller waiting. Go ahead. You're on Sizzletown.
Hey, g'day. It's Rich Tankwater calling from Eaglebot. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, listen, nanobots.
Oh, here we go.
That's what we've got to be worried about.
Yep.
Little bloody robots scuttling around with their lefty agenda inside you.
Can I... what?
Is that a nanobot? Oh, no, it's 100,000. Sorry.
No.
Falling out of a sandwich.
Well,
all right.
Okay.
See ya.
Okay, Scott.
Listening to that, Tony, I cannot for the life of me imagine how you and Matt Dow put it together, because the thing that I get as someone who occasionally presents talkback is in your voice I can hear simultaneously the just bemusement at having to endure this conversation, but then also going, well, I've got to take calls. There's probably no one else on the line. I've just got to let this guy run.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's very complicated because, of course, I'm playing everyone in the show.
Mm.
So it's a very tortuous thing to assemble. I have, because the callers are all improvised, so I just sit there for hours waffling on into this Zoom recorder. And, you know, you might record for half an hour and then you'll play it back and it'll be like 3.5 minutes that are any good. And then you've got to, and all of the bits that are usable are all on different files. So it's hours of sitting there just doing like what's called a paper edit of all the good bits. And then I have to write a script for me as the host that links all of those bits. And that script has to be very accurate, but it also has to sound very spontaneous. So the script will literally, this is what that script will sound like. Yes, right, yeah, but no, you go. No, that, and it's literally hours of that. And then Matt Dow has to join it all up.
Oh, my God, because they interrupt you. That was the thing that I was trying to make sense of, is that you're constantly just... As talkback, desperate late night talkback hosts such as myself occasionally do, you are going, okay, yeah.
Right, because you don't want it to sound just like use one, you know, question, answer. You've got to have the acting be really messy. So when I'm playing the callers, I have to imagine that I'm being interrupted by the host and having to repeat things. And then we've started doing a thing this year where I have two callers on at once.
Yeah, that was intense.
That does my head in. And then for the final episode of the year, we've got five of them.
Oh, my God.
I was going to ask.
And it goes for about 20 minutes. The section of the show goes for about 20 minutes with five of them on at once. So they all sing a song at the end. And that took us 2 weeks to assemble.
Wow.
It's just mental.
I was going to ask, you recently hit 50 episodes and 51 came out a couple of weeks ago. You've got the big finale, episode 52, coming out. Is there any sort of insider knowledge? But a song finale and five extra callers. You did every single caller from the show come on for the finale for the season 2 episode. Can we look forward to anything like that happening as well?
Well, I want it because at the end of the second year, we had every caller we'd had call in. So I think it was like 52 callers or something. And then we went, well, we can't top that. So, yeah, we're just going with this idea of having them on at once, because even there we had them come on one at a time. So it's tricky because you're improvising the callers, but then you've got to think of a way of... So Matt will send me a list of notes. He'll go, I need the caller... The third caller needs to say, yeah, hang on a second. So I'll just have to record that one line and email it to him and he'll cut it in. It's building a sort of ship in a bottle, really. But most people don't realise that it's me anyway, so I just have people going, why is it only half an hour? Why does it only come out once a month?
No, it's it is an extraordinary feat. I mean, the one with you and Jason Statham and the cat at the same time was extremely fun. I got to say, Tony, Lachlan here has listened to them all. He's a Bible.
Oh, actually, I won't lie, I'm wearing some Sizzletown merch at the moment.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
You'll be able to hear all the things I've repeated without realising.
One of the big things that you do or did in a previous season was those unplugged episodes. So a lot less production, and it was just you under the covers talking into the mic, a lot more personal and yarny. I was wondering should we perhaps consider dialing back? We're doing daily episodes. It's way too hard to produce. Is there any way that we could dial back on our production?
Well, it's funny because I think that was because Matt had to go and get a proper job because he has children. So we were only able to do 18 episodes that year, but I had promised we would do 22. So I felt really bad. So I went, how can I do 4 episodes with no production? And I found these diaries that I'd kept. I have kept a list of every single movie I've seen since 1980. And nerdishly given it a 1 out of 5 star rating. So I just, for each of those 4 episodes, I just started with 1980 and just went, I didn't look at those lists before I turned the mic on. And I just went through that list and tried to remember what I was doing when those, and I thought, this is way too boring. This will this will be of no interest to anyone. And those episodes have almost become more popular than the normal episodes.
I heard some of those, and they're enormously fun because you're kind of embarrassed by your past self to such a degree that it's enormously entertaining. Like, it's as though previous Tony is embarrassing present Tony across the waves of time or something.
It's shocking because, and then people take it really seriously. Like, I had so many people on Twitter going, I can't believe you only gave Blade Runner 3 stars. They were, like, furious, and I'm going, well, I haven't watched Blade Runner for years, but you've got to understand, this is like the 18-year-old me. I mean, imagine being asked to confront all of your opinions about everything that you had when you were 18. It's really quite embarrassing.
For some of the interns, that's only 2 years ago, but
we've got some very young people in this office, Tony. It's very disconcerting.
But it was funny because I hadn't even looked at what the first film was. I went, okay, it starts in January 1980. What was the first film I saw? Was it you know, Star Wars? Was it The Godfather? And no, it was Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill.
There's a reason why Mark Hamill is only remembered as Luke Skywalker. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I will say Mark Hamill did something brilliant a couple of years ago. He played a vampire in What We Do in the Shadows. Did you ever see that episode?
In the American, yes. I've seen the original movie, but yeah. I haven't seen the American version, which is what I presume.
It's really good. I put it off for ages because I went, part of what makes the movie so funny is that it's all set in Wellington.
Yeah.
And then I didn't watch the American one. And then I just one day looked at the poster. I went, hang on a second, Matt Berry's one of them. And they've got Matt Berry to play one of the vampires. And the direction they've obviously given him is just play it exactly the same way you play Toast of London. So
I'll definitely check it out. Have you seen more of Wellington Paranormal? I've only been to Wellington once, but the notion of paranormal and Wellington being in the same sentence, I suspect, is quite a funny concept.
It really is. And if you're from New Zealand, that is a joke that never... I think they've done, 3 or 4 series, and it's still yet to wear out as welcome, that joke. That's good stuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Less news, less often.
I've given you very little advice on how to win this award.
Well, it's advice, it's just not very actionable. So you've got to find an incredibly talented audio producer who you can somehow convince to spend an absolutely massive amount of time on a very labour-intensive podcast, which I really admire because most podcasts, including our own, are incredibly lazy. So for you to find a way to make podcasting this production intensive as per your radio work is pretty impressive, Tony.
Well, it's just because I've got Matt Dower and there's just so much he can do. It's like working with Phil Spector. You're going, there's so many things he can do, so many ideas he can do. You know, we've got, in the one we're working on at the moment, we've got David Lynch, a popular character on the show, comes back. And then I went, oh, what if we had David Lynch on the, like in Lost Highway, if we had him on the phone and in the studio at the same time? And Matt has just made that sound amazing. So, yeah.
So you just keep working out new ways to challenge him. I mean, that's the fun, isn't it? The theatre of the mind is actually being able to come up with preposterous, impossible to film things.
Yeah. I mean, we did a thing in the second year where I was strapped to a rotating platform having knives hurled at me, and the platform comes off its axis and rolls out into traffic. And Matt spent like about a week building that. And I remember we had long discussions on the phone about, when I'm rolling on the platform, is the perspective of the listener on the platform with me or in the street hearing me go past? And we decided, okay, it should be a mixture of two, so that I go round and round. So if you're listening in headphones, I go round and round in your head. I mean, that's the kind of nerdish discussions we spend so long having.
One of the things, because we do sketches and we don't have that much audio production that we're actually doing on the Chaser Report, and it sounds a lot like the way to get this award, unfortunately, is by quality of product. So are we able to steal Matt Dower? What we can do is trade you. We've got 5.5 hardworking interns, one who doesn't do much. We can give you that and they can do 5 hours of work.
Of shoddy work.
Of shoddy work 1 month. And we can have Matt Dower every day.
The irony for me is that Matt was poached by my former comedy husband, Mick Malloy.
I know.
So he sort of divides his time between myself and Mick. And Mick and I are having a show business feud that's been going on for about 16 years. So it's pretty funny that Matt is sort of, it's like he's cheating on me.
I saw in his Twitter bio, you know, Sizzletown and Kennedy Malloy, as it then was. And it's got, that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I'm working for Mick Malloy too now. They've just sent me a job interview and I've signed up, so I'm leaving soon too.
Well, you've got about a week till the show's acts.
Malloy's winding up, so I'm going, okay, Matt, now we can get back to rotating nine platforms.
You can make it in three dimensions. Well, there's spatial audio now you can muck around with. I should mention, in our own radio days at SCA, we had the amazing Brendan Tacey, who did incredible things. I mean, he's known as BT. You'd send him a shoddy script involving some absolutely ridiculous thing, and 20 minutes later you'd get this absolutely lovingly compiled, trip into space or something and explosions. And I have no idea how he did it so quickly, but a good audio producer is worth their weight in gold. And look, if you interns, keep going for 20 years or so, you might get to that level.
Well, I remember when we finished doing Martin Malloy, I remember thinking, oh, everyone's going to do this kind of radio. And there was very little of it because, of course, it takes so long. Especially in those days when it was analog equipment, you would spend 3 days building something that went a minute 50 and which got played twice. But I seem to remember that among the very few people who did that kind of, we call them sketches, but I mean, a sketch can be anything, was the Chaser did these fantastic parodies of commercial radio. Do you remember, what were they called? Something FM?
Oh, that was actually Chris and Craig when they were doing Today on Triple J. It was Coma FM.
Yeah, they were brilliant sketches.
Yeah, they were good.
And Chris, a really great production.
Chris Taylor is a absolute master of sketch writing, the best in the group. I don't think it's controversial to say, although there are other good sketch writers too. But and they had audio producers there on that Drive program who put a lot of – I think they're only allowed to do one or two a week. But their producer was very, very skilled in those days. But it's hard to get that at the ABC, to get anyone to produce a sketch. So for what it's worth, commercial radio still does have that that budget and that capacity. But the great thing about podcasting, to sort of go back full circle, Tony, is no gatekeepers, right? I mean, that's
it's so enjoyable. Yeah. I remember the first year we would be doing stuff for Sizzletown, and Matt or I would go, oh, are we going to get in trouble? And then we would stop and go, hang on, who are we going to get in trouble with? There's no boss. We just were so not used to the idea of having someone upstairs telling us to make it shorter or don't refer to that, or, you know, I mean, one of the reasons it's called Sizzletown is because when we started doing Get This, the very first thing we recorded, Matt and I, were these quite elaborate promos for the show that were trying to tell you that this was going to be a show that had a lot of, you know, bells and whistles audio-wise. And I remember do you remember Dobbo?
Oh, we worked a lot with Dobbo. Dobbo gave us our first job, paying job ever, in his defence. But yes, Dobbo, when I heard the name Sizzletown, I did immediately think, Dobbo, what did he say?
Dobbo got back to us about those promos and he goes, yeah, guys, I'm not hearing enough sizzle. That was his note. And I had never heard that phrase before. So just to amuse ourselves, we added the sound of bacon frying under all the promos and just ran those.
Oh, wow.
That was our idea of sizzle. So, yeah, so that's kind of weird. Part of the reason. And then I played Gary Sizzle for a few years, who was a sort
that's
of...
That's right.
who was often just spouting word-for-word things I'd heard Dobbo and members of the Dobbo gang say.
Oh, the great thing is they actually enjoy any reference on air, in an on-air universe. But well, we ended up having quite a similar fate, Tony, in that our Triple M daytime radio show, which rated really, really well, also got axed because it didn't make them any money. So it is a very strange space. But look, podcasting, it's greener pastures in terms of creative freedom. It's not quite so green pastures in terms of money, but, you know, it's a good compromise to make, isn't it? And look, I do love the relationship you have with the sponsors on Sizzletown in that there's a genuine gratitude that doesn't come out in commercial radio often, I suspect. Mm.
No, well, I know a lot of podcasts have, you know, the ads are just inserted and then they change, but we have what's called baked-in ads, so they're actually part of the show and will be in the show forever. So we try and make it, because we're trying to maintain a weird atmosphere of a late-night talk show, so we just don't want it to be interrupted by, you know, hey, brain snapping bargains, JP, you've done it again. We don't want that to come bursting in. So
yeah, well, that'd be weird.
We try and make the sponsor part of the show.
Mm. But the great thing about it is you've got such a loyal fan base, and they're clearly, I mean, that includes advertisers, and it's funny because you talk about, you know, the fans and the sort of army of Sizzletown buffs out there, but that's a genuine thing, and it was with The Late Show, and it included everyone in The Chaser, by the way. Martin Malloy, yeah. Get This army is, you know, ride for life still kind there. Of people. Yeah. And that's the great thing about, you know, good comedy is that you get these amazingly loyal fans. It's wonderful.
Mm. Well, yeah, we now do a thing where if people donate money to the show, Matt Dow will serenade them with a barrage of bizarre sounds.
Which is an amazing way to do it, by the way.
It's amazing how many people are into that. But for the whole first year, what I always remember is the first year we didn't have any sponsor and we were just doing it for free. And I got asked to do you remember that TV show Pointless?
Oh, yes. Mark Humphries is a very, very frequent guest on our show. Because Charles Firth gave him his first start in comedy way back in the day.
Well, Mark is great, and if he had been doing the show then, I might have done it, but he wasn't going to be the host. It was actually a Sydney newsreader was going to be the host
of
Pointless when they asked me to do it. And I got on, and they said, oh, you know, will you come up to Sydney? We'll fly you up to do it. And I said, well, how many episodes are you doing? They're going, we're going to do 250 episodes. I'm going, how do you do that? And they're going, we're going to film 5 a day, 3 days a week. And I'm going, hang on, so you're going to film 15 episodes in 3 days every week for a year. And I just went, look, I don't have time to do that because I'm doing a podcast. And I just heard laughter from the other end. They thought it was a joke. I went, no, seriously, I have this podcast that's really elaborate. It takes about 4 days to do an episode. I wouldn't be able to do it. And I got off the phone and I remember thinking, 250 episodes, even if they're only paying $1,000 an episode, and it would probably have been more than that, that's $250,000. And I've said to my girlfriend, I'm going, I think I've just turned down $250,000 so I can keep making my podcast for free. I think that makes Sizzletown literally the most expensive podcast of all time.
And it's, you know what it sounds like it, Tony? It really does.
But it's amazing how much work I do turn down because I'm going, oh, but we're trying to have two David Lynches on at once. It's quite complicated.
I mean, frankly, thank God you do. Because it wouldn't be so, I mean, special and hilariously labour-intensive. Because to me, this thing, having, you know, worked a little bit in this area, I'm just hearing so much effort, and it's such a beautiful thing.
Well, it's just very satisfying and enjoyable to do, and you must have found this. You've done things that in your career where you go, oh, no one else has done this. You know what I mean? They haven't done it quite this way. That's always very satisfying to go, well, even if it's shit house, no one else is not saying that you've done anything shit house. I'm talking about my show.
But yeah, no.
I'm going, you know, even if it's not quite working or people don't like it, you're going, well, but no one else is doing it quite this way, and that's quite enjoyable.
It's nice when you're creating something that is a unique, special product, and I think that's where the fans come from, because if they're looking for that thing that is unique and niche to them and you're putting in passion and effort, they love that. And evidently, with the success that Sizzletown had with the awards, it's creating a wonderful, wonderful product.
And well north of a million downloads too. How many millions is it now?
We're heading for two. I think we're at 1.8. We're almost at 2 million. It's not Hamish and Andy level, but
That's still worth $200,000.
Exactly. We're forging on.
Hey Tony, it's been absolutely lovely catching up.
Well, thanks for having me on, and amazingly, very little of it was bitter old radio stories from me.
Which, you know, I enjoy. We've done it offline previously. So, yes, but no, anytime you want to vent, by all means, get in touch. But no, Sizzletown is a beautiful thing, and may you be a purist who makes incredibly expensive and opportunity-denying projects like that for many years to come, Tony.
Thanks, guys, and all the best at the awards. And I think you do stand a chance because Dan did win last year, so surely he's not going to win again, no matter how good his show is.
Well, having just praised your incredibly laborious, you know, work of art podcast, we now put out 10 episodes a week of this thing. So if they're looking at quantity, we're in with a shot.
Yeah, but it's still good quality. Like, that's almost more impressive to do that many and still have it be good.
Oh, we do like a blather here. Thank you very much, Tony. Really appreciate it. Any last thoughts, Lachlan?
Yeah, Tony, I'm just wondering, we've got a few spare tickets because we booked too many for the podcast awards. I'm looking for a plus one.
Yeah, I'd love to come along and just be extremely drunk and embarrassing, sort of Oliver Reed style, just yelling abusive and cancel-worthy heckles from the back row.
And you got to get on stage and get a bit punchy. Glenn Milnstone.
Oh, by the way, that's something else I remember. The distance, if you do get up to accept an award, the playoff music is not long enough to get you off the stage. So there's this horrible kind of Alan Partridge-style clumping of footsteps for the last 20 seconds of your exit. That's what I remember. Watch out for that.
Well, there's something to aspire to on podcasting's Night of Nights. Which is a in terms, I suspect. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
cheers.
Tony. Have a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Chaser Report. News you know you can't trust.
And a big thanks to Tony for making himself available for that. Lachlan and I very, very much enjoyed that, and I hope you did too. Our gear's from Rode Microphones, and we're part of the Acast Creator Network. Back with another morning edition tomorrow. Catch you then.